So today's topic is worshiping the deity with faith and veneration as one of the processes of bhakti, panchanga bhakti, or the five powerful forms of devotional service, which we have been discussing during the previous weeks. So far we covered three processes from the five. Can you remember? Chanting Hare Krishna. What was the last? Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Association with devotees, Sadhu Sangha. This was the first. So this is the fourth we are describing, but no less important than the other processes. I have selected one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 25, text 36. There are actually many verses and purpose by Srila Prabhupada on deity worship. And Srila Prabhupada established deity worship since the very beginning of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Very soon he asked Shyamasundar Prabhu to carve murtis of Lord Jagannath in San Francisco, and the worship started very soon, even if in a very simple way, and then gradually, very quickly he developed it by installing Sri Sri Gauranitai and Sri Sri Radha Krishna murtis all over the world, and engaging his disciples in learning the art of deity worship. You have on the last part of the page, the second page, you have an indicative bibliographic list of references, and this is just a sample. If you do your research in Prabhupada's books, you will find many, many more. But this is a substantial sample that you can use to go deeper into the subject. So I chose this particular verse. We're going to read now, 3:25:36. Because it shows the mercy the Lord offers in his form of the deity, and how even neophyte devotees can attain a very advanced platform very quickly just by engaging themselves in the worship of the deity. And the Sanskrit reads as follows: Tairdarshaniya Vayavairudara Vilasaka sekshita vama suktai ritatmano rita pranamscha bhaktir anikchato megati mambin prajunte. And then translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, you have it on the sheet. So you can follow, and you can also reread it after the class and in your own study time. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Purport. There are three divisions of devotees: first class, second class, and third class. Even the third class devotees are liberated souls. So Srila Prabhupada focuses his attention on the third class devotees, The verse is not speaking only about very advanced devotees, but about all devotees who engage themselves in the process of devotional service. It is explained in this verse that although they, these third-class devotees, do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, the devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Simply by discharging uncontaminated devotional service as prescribed in the scriptures, one becomes equal to Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Brahma Bhujaya Kalpate. This means that the living entity in his original state is Brahman because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman. But simply because of his forgetfulness of his real nature as an eternal servitor of the Lord, he is overwhelmed and captured by Maya. His forgetfulness of his real constitutional position is Maya, otherwise he is eternally Brahman. When one is trained to become conscious of his position, he understands that he is a servitor of the Lord. Brahman refers to a state of self-realization. Even the third-class devotee, who is not advanced in knowledge of the absolute truth, but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, and brings forth flowers and fruits to offer to the deity, becomes imperceptibly liberated. Chrata Yamvitaha. With great devotion, the devotees offer worshipful respects and paraphernalia to the deity, the deities of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi and Narayana, and Rama and Sita are very attractive to devotees, so much so that when they see the statue decorated in the temple of the Lord, they become fully absorbed in thought of the Lord. That is the state of liberation. In other words, it is confirmed herewith that even a third-class devotee, so Srila Prabhupada is like hammering on the point and again, third-class devotee, it doesn't matter. If you are a third-class devotee, by worshipping the deity, you become liberated. This is the power of deity worship. So, that even a third-class devotee is in the transcendental position above those who are trying for liberation by speculation or by other methods. Even great impersonalists like Shukadeva Goswami, and look at this, how Srila Prabhupada relates the Leela of Shukadeva Goswami and the Kumaras with deity worship. Shukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras were attracted by the beauty of the deities in the temple. By the beauty of the deities in the temple. Actually, the Kumaras, according to the third canto of the Bhagavatam, this very same canto, they saw the Lord at the doors of Vaikuntha. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying that the Lord of Vaikuntha and the deity are one. They are non-different. It doesn't matter. Seeing the Lord at the doors of Vaikuntha or seeing the Lord at the temple in Belgium, it doesn't matter. It's identical, and it is the same. So when they saw the deities in the temple, by the decorations and by the aroma of tulsi offered to the Lord, and they became devotees. Even though they were in the liberated state, instead of remaining impersonalists, they were attracted by the beauty of the Lord and became devotees. Here the word vilasa is very important. Vilasa refers to the activities or pastimes of the Lord. It is a prescribed duty in temple worship that not only should one visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some similar literature, which is regularly recited in the temple. It is the system in Vrindavan that in every temple there is recitation of the Shastras. Even third-class devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, their minds may remain always absorbed in the thought of the Lord, His form, His activities, and His transcendental nature. This state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated stage. Lord Chaitanya, therefore, recommended, and this is a review for us, recommended five important processes in the discharge of devotional service. One, to chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Two, to associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. Three, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth, to see the decorated temple and the deity. And, if possible, five, to live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These five items alone can help a devotee achieve the highest perfectional stage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that third-class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation. That third-class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation is accepted in all Vedic literatures. So Srila Prabhupada repeats here, one at the end of this purport, the same point he mentions in the beginning of chapter 13 of Nectar of Devotion, discussing the five powerful forms of devotional service. He says that these forms of bhakti are selected among the 64 because if one develops only a slight attachment to one of them, this can be enough to elevate a neophyte to the level of Bhava Bhakti or to the level of genuine devotional ecstasy. And this is the idea. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying that even third-class devotees, they are liberated by engaging their senses in the worship of the deity. I selected a list of points. You have them A through I. I would like to cover in this short discussion. Probably the last two will be homework for students especially, and for others also you are welcome to take it as homework. Why not? We're never too old for spiritual homework. It's always nice. It is about how to improve in our seva. So, the first point is in relation to what is deity worship. And actually also to compare deity worship, to contrast deity worship and idolatry. Many people will challenge us, and actually you may have found some people when preaching that will challenge that you people are worshiping idols. Did you ever find anyone like that? So if you didn't find a person like that, don't worry, you will find him or her. If you preach, if you don't preach, of course, you will not find anything. But if you preach, you will find it. That's natural. Because in many religious traditions nowadays, the idol worship is condemned. And there is no clear distinction of what is as spiritual worship and what is idol worship. Deity worship means spiritual worship, worship of the Lord. Deity means God, the worship of God, according to the will of God. Whereas idol worship means worship of something mundane as God. This is basically the general difference. What other points can you think of in differentiating these two, deity worship and idol worship? What would you tell the people when they challenged you in this way? Very good. So deity worship is based on Shastra, on scripture. For example, there is, you can add one full chapter to the bibliography, chapter 27 of Canto 11, Srimad Bhagavatam. Uddhava Gita, Sri Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. The whole chapter is on deity worship. So you can, you have a full explanation by the Lord himself about what is bona fide deity worship. He describes that there are different types of deity worship. There are, deity worship can be of three types, according to the Lord. One is Vaidika, following the Vedas. Another is Pancharatrik, or Tantrika, it is described in the Bhagavatam. Tantrika, following the Tantra literatures, like the Pancharatras. Tantra means using matter, spiritualizing matter, connecting with God, becoming liberated through matter. Like we have the Tanmatras. The Tanmatras in Sankhya philosophy are the five objects of the senses. So we use the objects of the senses in the service of the Lord. And therefore, and this is actually the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is so merciful that he agrees to become personally manifest through the Tanmatras, the objects of the senses. And then we can worship him directly. This is his kindness. This is his mercy. And then he says another third type of deity worship will be a mixture of the two. So take instructions from the Vedas and instructions of the Pancharatra, and then a combined method of worship can be performed. Any of these methods is considered bona fide. We follow the Pancharatric method mainly, Tantric method. So we are, in that sense, we could say we are Tantrics. Sometimes in Bengal there is this competition of Vaishnavas and Tantrics. So we are Tantrics, but we are Vaishnava Tantrics. We are not Tantrics who are engaged in the objects of the senses to exploit material nature, as many people do in India. They worship the goddess in order to obtain material benefits, and they engage the senses in obnoxious activities many times, such as drinking wine, eating meat, illicit sex, and so on, in the name of tantric practices. Any other thoughts on deity worship versus idolatry? Srila Prabhupada gives an example. We find it in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 12, in one of the purports, and you may have heard it in lectures, and also Prabhupada quotes it in different parts of his books. Anyone can remember what's that example? This is an analogy we can use when presenting deity worship to non-devotees or to practitioners from other traditions, Muslims, non-Roman Catholic Christians. Most of them, they condemn worship of forms. They think this is, even they say this is demoniac. They go as far as to say that. and the Muslims also, the Jewish as well. So what arguments can we give? Prabhupada give an example. Very good. Very good. So it is. It must be an authorized box. So it is, the form, of course, should be authorized so that people can identify the where to put the letter. And not only the proper form and shape and stamp from the government post office should be there, but also should be really authorized, should be properly, should be approved by the government. Meaning that if one of us decides, why should I walk, here it is raining all the time, why should I walk to the other side of the church to put my letter? This is it's a very big botheration to experience the rain to go there. Let me do one exactly the same and put it here inside, in the reception area. Will the letters arrive, even if it is exactly the same, same color, same sign, and imitation? Will it arrive? What did you say? It will not arrive because it is not authorized by the government. So similarly, we need to worship the deity with the authorization of the spiritual master and following the guru parampara. Otherwise, it will not arrive, the worship. It should be performed with bhakti, with devotion, according to the prescribed method. It is not something external. It is something also, it is actually mainly internal. It is authorized and it is properly performed. We find in many parts of Srila Prabhupada's books descriptions of what it is called, this is point B on your sheet, Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrik Vidhi. And Srila Prabhupada explains that these two, Bhagavad Vidhi refers to the processes of, what processes? Of the nine processes of bhakti, what are the main processes in Bhagavad Vidhi? Hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. Especially hearing and chanting. It means, Vidhi means the rules or the process, the process, the regulations. And generally Bhagavad Vidhi is connected to Raga Mark, or to the process of a spontaneous devotion to the Lord. And Pancharatrik Vidhi refers to the process of deity worship, offering prayers, and so on. So Srila Prabhupada explains that these two should be combined, like the two trails, you say? Trails? Tracks of the train, tracks of the trail? Of the trail. Is that correct? Sorry about my English sometimes. Railroad tracks, thank you. So the railroad tracks. So the two tracks of the railroad. That's the idea. And okay, you may be able in some places like in Japan, I think you get monorail, and some countries they have monorail. So you can use monorail, but generally you need the two tracks. So the idea is that the two tracks are necessary in order to make a spiritual advancement. Srila Prabhupada explains that hearing and chanting is good for advancing Krishna consciousness. It is the essential method. But for most of us, unless we perform some way, some form of deity worship, we will not be able to hear and chant properly. We need a combination of both. Deity worship helps us to remain in the mode of goodness, to remain purified. Srila Prabhupada describes that to do only the first one, Bhagavad Vidhi, can be like trying to imitate Haridas Thakur. It is the imitation of Haridas Thakur. He was able to worship the holy name constantly, day and night. He didn't need to perform deity worship. But in our case, we need deity worship to keep up in the mode of goodness and to keep the personal form of the Lord present also in the holy name. This is the combination. Sometimes I hear once a very nice example from one Sadhya Shrestha Prabhu. He was here, expert in Yagyas. Ramachandra Prabhu? Where are you going? You're supposed to be in class, not in phone. So then, even if one has taken the courses of deity worship, one should hear about deity worship. It's not that one knows everything about deity worship. And, taking a course 5 weeks is not knowing about deity worship. So Srila Prabhupada, there are many, many instructions we find in the books. And one very nice example, Sadhya Shrestha Prabhu, he's very expert in deity worship and yagyas. He's a grihastha, he's living at home. He's still worshipping the deity. He's working outside in Barcelona temple. And every day he and his wife, they prepare the Rajboga for the deities. He or his wife. Only when they are in the weekends, other devotees in the temple do it. And he's doing that for many, many years. This is knowing the value of deity worship. Many, many years doing it. In taking care of his family, even not having, the temple has not resources to maintain him, doesn't matter. He takes care of his family, he goes and performs deity worship on a daily basis. So he gave a very nice example of, and I didn't find a quote by Srila Prabhupada, but I thought it is a good and very good analogy. Bhagavad Vidhi can be compared to water. When we want to become purified, we use water. So this is Bhagavad Vidhi, hearing and chanting about Krishna. We become purified with water. But then, because many times we, especially in Kali Yuga, bodies don't smell very good, isn't it? So then we need to put some type of product to take out the smell. Not just water. Water purifies, but then we use soap, we use some type of oil or perfume or whatever. We want to make it cleaner. So Pancharatrik Vidhi can be compared to soap or oil, other products for completing the cleaning. And this is especially necessary in the age of Kali, where the minds are very impure and everything is very impure. So we need this regulation of worshipping the Lord. This connects to point number 3, which is the importance of Pancharatrik Vidhi in the age of Kali. For example, if we will not have to attend Mangal Arati and a morning program, which is part of Pancharatrik Vidhi, probably, for sure, a few of you will start earlier, as you do, after, like Mother Bhagavati, she starts chanting rounds at 2:30 in the morning. So some of you may may do that, but the majority will not do that. We start chanting early because we come to Mangalartik, and then we are inspired, come to see the Lord, so that the Lord sees us, and then naturally we are already clean, we take a shower, and so we are clean, ready to chant japa. Then we can perform Shravanam Kirtanam. And during the deity worship, we also perform these processes, which are intertwined with deity worship. Also, chanting Kirtan for the Lord is part of the 64 angas of deity worship. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Then regarding what is proper deity worship, we were mentioning before, also the Lord is a person and he will accept the worship according to, like in Bhagavad Gita he says, the deity is speaking, Jaya tamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajami aham. As devotees approach me, I reciprocate with them. This is the way the Lord corresponds with how we offer our service. So according to the bhakti, the Lord will respond. So actually the main ingredient in deity worship is bhakti, love. And therefore in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, patam pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayakchati tataham bhakti uparetam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If even very simple ingredients are offered to me with bhakti, and the word bhakti is mentioned twice in the same verse, Krishna says, then I will accept it. If bhakti is not there, he may not accept. He can accept out of mercy, but he may not accept. And therefore, at the end of the worship, pujaris, they recite, Mantahinam, Kriyahinam, like that. The man saying, if I have offered it without the proper mantra, without the proper regulation, without devotion, my Lord, please accept it. So it is the prerogative of the Lord to accept or to reject. Or not to reject, he does not reject, but to not take the offering of the person who comes to him, and therefore should be offered properly with bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized two main elements in expressing externally this bhakti. In deity worship there are two main elements. What are those? Any ideas? Very good. Punctuality and cleanliness. These are the two main ways of expressing devotion to the Lord, expressing love. By being there on time, so we are the servants, we come on time to worship the Lord, to offer our little offerings to the Lord. And by cleanliness, everything very pure, everything first class. And this was Srila Prabhupada's contribution. He taught first class deity worship. If we compare the ways Srila Prabhupada exemplified deity worship with what we see in many places in India, it is outstanding. Of course, we shouldn't criticize. They may be poor and they are worshiping the deity according to their level of devotion. Many occasions, but the point should be clean. If we are poor, should be clean. And if we have opulence, then we should offer the best to the Lord. And then what is improper deity worship? What is the worst way of deity worship? Or sometimes Prabhupada explains in his books a very displeasing way of worshipping him. Any thoughts on that? What could that be? A very displeasing way of worshipping him, that something Krishna really does not like. Very good, very good. That's the point. Yeah, very good. So, I want to read a short. Let's see if I find it in the purport. Srila Prabhupada writes that if one is worshipping the deity of the Lord in the temple, but one is offending or neglecting devotees, then he is vainly worshipping the Lord. Should we hear? He's quoting Jiva Goswami. Anyway, I'm paraphrasing what Prabhupada says. You can find it in chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita in one of the quotes. I didn't have the time to copy and paste. Here it is. This is the commentary on the verse Avajananti Mamuda. When I come, Krishna says, when I come in a human form, fools deride me. So Prabhupada writes, the Supreme is present in every living entity. We should better take note of this particular verse from the Vaishnava Acharyas like Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instead of following the interpretation of unauthorized persons who deride Krishna. Jiva Goswami, commenting on this verse, says that Krishna, in his plenary expansion as Paramatma, is situated in the moving and the non-moving entities as the Super Soul. So any neophyte devotee who simply gives his attention to the Archamurti, the form of the Supreme Lord in the temple, and does not respect other living entities, is uselessly worshipping the form of the Lord in the temple. So we should, when we talk about proper worship and improper worship, it is not only cleanliness and punctuality, of course that's very important, as said, bhakti, very important, but we should not forget to take care of the devotees who are very dear to the Lord. Otherwise the Lord will be highly displeased. And then we find many examples of proper deity worship in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I selected two chapters from Madhya Lila, chapter 4, chapter 5, about the devotional service of Sri Madhavendra Puri, who installed the deity of Gopal. And actually Gopal appeared to him in a dream because of his devotion. He wanted to take personal worship from his pure devotee, so the Lord appeared in front of him in a dream and then accepted his service in many different ways. And it is a long story that you can read, very beautiful, in Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think it's chapter 4 or 5, and you can find it in the index. And then also there is a story of Sakshi Gopal, how the Lord agreed to become the witness for his devotee. And he walked from Vrindavan to Orissa just to reciprocate with the devotion of his devotee. So the Lord in the form of the deity is ready to do anything for his devotee. And we should remember that. He can do anything for his devotee. And this is exemplified in these lilas of the Lord with his pure devotees who were worshiping him in such a wonderful way, with pure love. Okay, it is time to stop. Can I take one or two questions while the servers can go and bring the prasadam, and in the meantime, we can take one or two questions or comments. The Srimad Bhagavatam does not elaborate on it, but as I understood from reading the verses and some of the commentaries by Sri Dayananda Maharaj and his team of commentators following Prabhupada's wish of finishing the Bhagavatam, the Vedic worship also includes worshipping the Lord through Yajna, because there is a verse where it is mentioned that the Lord can be worshipped in fire, and so all these points are there. We could even go to the chapter quickly and look into it. This is 11th canto, 27. This is the summary, but later on you can check. I'm just not going to the verse to avoid taking too much time searching the verse. But in the summary it is mentioned, and it is consistent with the verse. The deity image, the ground, so the deity image, this will be Pancharatri mainly, the ground, sometimes this is like one of the eight ways of worshipping elements of nature, where the Lord becomes manifest, is sand. And sometimes a form of sand it is prepared. Generally it is for temporary worship. The Lord is invited onto the sand, and then for a particular yajna or process of worship, and then the Lord goes back. Generally speaking, when we invite the Lord, the Bhagavatam says, he should not be sent back. But in particular processes, that's possible. So this could be related to some of Vedic process. The fire is mentioned, deity image, the ground, the fire, the sun, the water, and the heart of the worshipper are all true locations of the deity's presence. So in some of the Vedic processes, this is mentioned. But I have not studied the Vedic processes. We follow Pancharatri, so I cannot say much more than that. But it came to mind that the fire, the sun, also the Brahma Gayatri is used. The Vedic Brahma Gayatri is actually a Vedic mantra, and it is used also in worshipping the Lord. So the worship is performed through mantras, mantra, tantra. So this is part of the process. And then also in this chapter, eight substances are mentioned regarding how the Lord, the form of the Lord can be made and can be worshipped. Can you remember, any of you, or guess some of the elements, the substances?
Wood.
Mind. Jewels. Earth or sand, drawing, painting, five. I'm a bit deaf. Please speak up, otherwise.
What is it? Metal.
Metal, yes. Six.
Stone.
We're missing one. Mind was said. Which one? Would we do? Not water. I don't remember water. Although in the foundation, before it's mentioned, but later on, what is not mentioned? Which one we're missing? Clay. Clay. Well, clay is mentioned, and then sand. Earth is like sand in the form. One thing is, because clay is actually earth mixed with water, so water will be there in the form of clay. But the sand, water may not, or less water is there. I mean, it's and Srila Prabhupada many times explains, because out of his kindness, the Lord, out of mercy, he comes. It is his mercy that he comes in these forms. We cannot see a spirit, but we can see matter. So the Lord very kindly comes to accept our seva. This is the idea. Prabhupada explains it in this way sometimes. It is his mercy. How can we see? You have that realization? It is also by mercy. In the beginning, we accept by seeing through Shastra. So in the beginning, we see through the ears, through hearing. Krishna is so merciful. He is a deity. And then as we become, as we serve the deity with bhakti, with devotion, then we can see Krishna. It is, he is, there is no difference between the Lord. The deity is the God. It is not the deity and God. The deity is God. It's one. So as we offer with bhakti, then the more bhakti, the more we can see the deity as non-different from Krishna. The same that when we chant. The more we chant and with devotion, the more we can see that the sound Krishna and the person Krishna are one. But this comes only by the mercy of the Lord. We cannot force it. But at least we can see it through Shastra. The Shastra says, so we serve the Lord, seeing the Lord. We are not serving a stone. We are not serving even an image of God which is different from him. We are serving God. And he's so kind that he accepts this form to receive the seva. This is his mercy. This is a very broad topic, and this is just, we touch the general description, the surface. As homework, and this is for you, it's your own responsibility as students or as devotees, I will request, please take today, take some little time to pray in front of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and to reflect on how can I improve my service to you. You can ask them this question. How can I improve my service to you? And then if you want to go into the details of deity worship, like there are different divisions, 5 elements that can be offered, then 16 elements, and then 64 elements. You can read them in a purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya. It is one of the last quotes. Madhya chapter 24, verses 334 to 337. You find there 2 or 3 purports where the details of the elements that should be offered in deity worship or can be offered, and also the offenses that the seva paradas that can be committed while performing deity worship. And then next Tuesday, there will be one of the students will lecture further on deity worship, so we can go deeper into the topic. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Makarani Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaura Nitai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.